This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
So here is the title of our message this morning, The Resurrection, Grace at its Peak. Grace is the unmerited, unearned favor of God. In other words, we have God's favor, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because God loves us and He gives it to us. Correct? So if we have to earn favor from God, is that grace? It can't be, because if we have to earn it or deserve it in some way, then it's not grace, right? How about, can we deserve the favor of God? If we do something and we feel like we deserve God's favor, is that grace? No. You cannot earn it, you cannot deserve it. It would be like someone gives you a very generous gift for your birthday. You've done nothing to earn it, you've done nothing to deserve it. They just blessed you with it. They gave you favor because of who you are to them and because of who they are as a person. So that's grace. So if you have to earn it, if you have to deserve it, it is no longer grace. Then it's merit-based. Then it's reward. Correct? So can we say that grace, or the unmerited favor of God, can it be received as a reward? No, it cannot. Because a reward is when you do something and you feel you've earned or deserved it, then you are rewarded for it. Correct? If I'm trusting God for some breakthrough, and I feel like my merit and my performance is going to get it for me, then am I really trusting in the grace of God? If we could earn and deserve things from God, truly, by our merit, then Jesus would not be necessary. Then grace would not be necessary. Isn't that true? Like, for example, salvation. Can you earn or deserve salvation? Can you? No, you can't. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace we are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is not the result of works. In other words, it's not the result of your merits or your performance. And praise God that our journey begins with grace, with the unmerited favor of God. And it also ends with the unmerited favor of God. How did you receive Him? By grace. So how are you to walk in Him? By grace. Correct? The reason why we've got to make sure that we are established and understand the basis of grace clearly is so that we can understand the rest of Scripture and the rest of the New Covenant. There are two major covenants in the Bible, one before the cross, one after the cross. We refer to it as the Old Covenant. We refer to the other one as the New Covenant. We know that those are ways that we relate to God. The Old Covenant, what was the basis of the Old Covenant as far as relating to God? How did people, or how were people expected to relate to God under the Old Covenant? They were expected to relate to God by the law, right? What is the law? The basis of the law are the Ten Commandments. There's another 603 around it. And how does the law work? Deuteronomy 28 tells you, if you do these things, then you will get the blessings. If you don't do these things, then what happens? You get the curses. And James says that if you break one, you break them all. So it was impossible to relate to God by law. This is why they always failed, and this is why God brought it to an end at the cross. It was to show us our need for redemption, that we cannot ever live up to His perfect law as imperfect people. So then Jesus introduces a new covenant. What is the basis of the new covenant? The grace of God. In other words, it's no longer you relating to God by your merit, by your performance. It is now you relating to God by His unmerited favor. In other words, God, I know that I cannot earn it. I know that I cannot deserve it. But because of what Jesus has done for me as my ultimate sacrifice, I can have your blessing and favor. And you know, to show us just how powerful the grace of God is, the resurrection was the revelation of that. And that's what I'm going to share with you and show you today. Are you ready? Let's begin by looking at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And we're going to read mostly today from the New Living Translation. Watch what it says. It's on the screen there. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then," watch this, "your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins." What it's implying is that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, it means that you and me would have no evidence that we have been redeemed, right? And if we have no evidence that we are redeemed, then believing in Jesus and redemption in Jesus is useless. In other words, it has no use to you. And secondly, you are still guilty of your sins. In other words, you can still expect judgment and condemnation for your sins if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And secondly, it also implies that you are no longer guilty for your sins. So if God were to judge you right now, would He judge you as guilty? Would He judge you guilty for your past sins? No. Would He judge you guilty for your present sins? Would He judge you guilty for your future sins? Why is that? Because at the cross, Jesus died for all your sin, past, present, future. So the resurrection is evidence of that. Aren't you glad that you can live a life knowing that you are not guilty? God does not hold you guilty for your sins. Did He judge your sin on the cross? Did He? So will He judge your sin again? If He judged your sin twice, what does that say about Him? It means that He's double-minded. He judged your sin. Therefore, there's no judgment to be expected. Now, I know some people say, well, hold on, what about the judgment seat of Christ? And you'll know what I'm going to say. We've done a study on it. The word judgment in that verse is not in the original. It's not the judgment seat of Christ. It's the seat of Christ. And what is that seat? In the Greek, it's the baimatos. What is baimatos? It's the winner's platform. Just like the old Roman times when they had the equivalent of Olympics, they would put the winners of a race on there, they would put a wreath on them, give them the prize, and say, well done. That's what that is. As believers, because our sin has been dealt with at the cross, we are going to get rewarded for the things we do here in this earth, but it's not going to take away our salvation. It's the seat of Christ, right? So we realize that our sin has been taken care of, all because of the resurrection. So because of the resurrection of Jesus, then what you believe is useful to you, and secondly, you are no longer guilty for your sins. Isn't that relief? Isn't that wonderful? It is all the work of grace in the resurrection. All of that that you've just heard me say and that we've just read is all the work of grace. This is why the resurrection is the pinnacle. It's the ultimate expression of the grace of God. I'm going to show you four things today, how the resurrection reveals the grace of God in its highest form. First reason, Romans 5 verse 21, watch this. It says, "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death," in other words, to separation from God. So because they had sin, they were separated from God. Now God's wonderful grace rules instead. In other words, God's unmerited favor rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you see what we just read there? It says that sin no longer rules over us. Right? What does it mean when something rules over you? It dominates your life. It governs your life. Right? How does sin rule your life? How does sin dominate someone's life? Through guilt, shame, and condemnation. Isn't that so? You do something that you know better, that you know God says don't do it. And what follows that? Guilt, shame, condemnation. And that's how it rules over people's lives. But here it tells us that that issue has been dealt with, right? Does that mean that we harden our hearts and our consciences to sin? Of course not. We want to keep a clear conscience, right? But it doesn't change gospel truth that God's wonderful grace rules instead. In other words, what should you be governed by? What should you be dominated by as a believer? By the fact that you have God's unmerited favor, right? Is it because you've earned it? Remember, you cannot earn it. Is it because you deserve it? You cannot deserve it. So it's because of Jesus and the finished work of the cross, right? So you can be confident that you have the unmerited favor of God, right? And that's how it rules in your life. So just the way we saw what sin ruling in your life looks like through guilt, shame, and condemnation, what does it look like when grace, when the unmerited favor of God rules your life? What does it look like? When you know that you haven't done anything to deserve God's favor, but you expect it to manifest in your life, that's how you know that it rules in your life. Isn't that so? Then it says, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ. So when you let grace rule in your life, in other words, God's unmerited, unable to earn or deserve favor, then you have right standing with God, and that will result in eternal life with God. So in other words, sin no longer separates you from God. Why? Because grace rules over your life. So because of God's grace, death was conquered. Separation from God was conquered. Here's the second reason. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Watch this. It says, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. So question, what was the driving force behind redeeming us? That's the purchasing of our freedom. Grace. And because of that, He forgave our sins. But notice, it's all behind, or it's all driven by, it's all fueled by the grace of God. Because God is so rich in grace. God is so rich in giving you and me unmerited favor. How much did grace have to do with our redemption and forgiveness, as it is on that verse? Everything, right? So there's the second reason. Because of God's grace, we are redeemed and also we are forgiven, right? Here's the third reason. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. Watch this. It says, but God is so rich in mercy. What does mercy mean? Mercy says we don't get what we deserve. And it says that God is so rich in mercy. In other words, God is so rich in not giving us what we deserve otherwise. Are you with me? And He loved us so much that even though we were dead, in other words, separated from Him, because of our sins, watch what He does. He gave us life, talking about new life, eternal life. When He raised Christ from the dead, see, there's the resurrection. And then watch what it says as a little point to remind us the deeper truth. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. In other words, what made it possible for God not to give us what we truly deserve? Grace. What makes it possible for God to love us? Grace. And even though we were separated from God because of all our sin, what made it possible for Him to forgive us and save us? Grace. And He proved it by raising Jesus from the dead. And what made that possible? Grace. Because it's all the package of salvation. And it says it's only by God's grace that you are saved. Mercy says you don't get what you deserve. Grace says you get what you don't deserve. Isn't that what grace is? Praise God for that. I mean, God is so awesome. Wouldn't you agree? And the resurrection reveals all that. Praise God for loving us without limit or boundary. And Romans 8, 38 and 39, it's not on the screen, tells us that. He says, how wide, how deep, how high the love of God. In other words, no matter which direction, what measurement, unit of measure you want to use, you cannot measure God's love. So even though we were at our worst in fallen Adam, God made us best in Jesus. Amen. And it was only made possible by His grace. So based on that verse that we've just seen, how much do you think grace had to do in your salvation or with your salvation? Everything. So that's the third reason. Because of God's grace, we have new life. Aren't you glad you have new life in Jesus? And not the old fallen life in Adam. Okay, let's look at the fourth reason. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, from the New Living. Watch how it begins. For the grace of God. So what is it talking about? The unmerited favor of God. So the basis of whatever is going to follow is the grace of God, right? So for the grace of God, watch this, has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And, still talking about the same grace of God, we are instructed by what? By the grace of God. To turn from godliness, living in sinful pleasures, we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. So what does grace make possible for us here? What does grace empower us to do here? To live a holy and righteous life. Isn't that so? It's only possible through the revelation of God's grace. Let me show you how the NIRV puts verse 12. Okay, that's the New International Reader's Version. Let me show you how the NIRV puts verse 12. It says, His grace teaches us to say no to godless ways and sinful desires. You see, someone who thinks grace is an excuse for me to sin because I am forgiven of all of my sin, past, present, future, they just really don't understand grace. They think this grace is grace. Isn't that so? Grace is not an excuse for us to go and take advantage of God's unmerited favor. Rather, grace helps us please God because of what He's done for us. But we're not doing it because we're trying to earn it. We're doing it because we have it already. And that's what this is saying here. So how much does grace have to do with our transformation then? Because apparently, according to this verse, grace transforms us into godly, holy living, right? So how much does grace have to do with that? Everything, right? So the fourth reason is because of God's grace, we are transformed. Would you agree with that? So today, we've seen four reasons why the resurrection of Jesus is the pinnacle or the highest form of the manifestation and revelation of God's grace. And to remind us, we've seen that because of God's grace, number one, eternal separation from God is conquered. That's death. It is conquered. You don't ever have to be concerned that you will ever be separated from God again. Secondly, we've seen that because of God's grace, redemption is possible. We were brought back from the sinful fallen state into a holy, righteous state. It made it possible because of God's grace. Thirdly, we've seen that because of God's grace, we have new identity and new life in Jesus. In other words, we can look forward to eternity with God in heaven. And then lastly, we saw that because of God's grace, transformation is also possible for us here on earth. In other words, we don't have to remain living in the sinful ways that we've always lived in before salvation, and even after salvation, we can trust the grace of God to transform us because grace teaches us. In other words, the more I realize about God's unmerited favor, about His goodness and His mercy toward me, the more I realize how He loves me and the more I want to live a life that pleases Him. So wouldn't you agree with me that the resurrection really reveals the grace of God at its peak?
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.